All right. Hey, we're here talking Marshall. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. I really appreciate you taking the time. I have to say, favorite part of the movie, drops of doubt in the water. I've never seen that in a courtroom drama before. Was that something you guys actually found that was done in the case, or did you see that in something else, or how'd you come up with that idea? It's a perfect visual.
Well, you know, it was the great thing about this movie, it was written by an attorney and his son. He's a Connecticut-based attorney. He had heard the legend of this case where Thurgood Marshall came to town, worked with a local attorney. So he did all this incredible research. So that was there in the script when I got it. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Don't touch it.
Like, whoa, we're shooting that. And I agree with you. I mean, you know, courtroom dramas, you know, we know that space, right? So to find such a powerful visual metaphor to bring the challenge to life was a treat.
Yeah, I'm sure another challenge, like you're saying, you're trying to bring what could be a dry courtroom to life. Another challenge was that Mr. Bozeman's character, Thurgood Marshall, isn't even there during the final of the closing argument. It's just Josh Gad. So I like the workaround you guys found about how you intercut it with your conversation in the train station. Was that something that was also in the script, or was that you guys trying to solve a problem of, you know, not having a passive lead, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, when you have a challenge like that, there's two ways of doing it. One is you fudge it. You go, well, let's just have him there, right? Let's cheat history. But I'm like, no. We're not taking the easy way out.
Right.
Thurgood was gone. He had to go. This is one of the challenges of this man's life, is that for every case he was there, someone else was suffering. Someone else would have a miscarriage of justice. So he had to be everywhere at once. So throughout the case, here's one of the greatest attorneys, one of the most eloquent speakers of our nation, gagged. How do we bring him to life? So I looked at that impossible situation as a chance for us to do something really dynamic, really visual, and that really delineated his contribution to the case and to the law.
Absolutely. And Chadwick, I mean, obviously this isn't your first rodeo with the biopics. You've done Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall now. Do you have sort of the research prep thing down to an art now? Do you have sort of your thing, I need to do this, or what are some of the challenges of preparing for those guys versus this?
They're all very different men. And I think they're three different movies, three different, you know, conceits, three different ways of playing a real person. You know, just to describe it, you know, Brian Hoagland wanted Jackie Robinson to filter through me. But there's certain things about that process, and I was like, okay, I'll give you what you want, which meaning he didn't want me to try to imitate Jackie Robinson's voice. I found that the physicality was more important, that I had to play baseball like him. I had to move like him. I had to look like him. And so, you know, for me, the preparation for that role was a very physical one. And even though I didn't try to sound like him, I wanted to sound like the time period. So it was studying the time period. James Brown was more of imitation. You know this man's music, you know what he moves like, you know what he sounds like, you know what he dresses like, you know the type of things he's going to say, humor, serious, you know his police record. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
there's certain things I had to do that would give you a sense of him, but I also didn't want to make fun of the man. So the challenge was to not imitate him to the point where I could make fun of him. So it was important that I dig into the cultural, his Southern roots in a way, and apply them to my own Southern roots, and allow his voice to come to me, as opposed to, you know, we're very different in terms of physicality, our heights. You know, so how do I dance like him, and how do I sound like him if we don't have the same
right,
instrument?
Right.
So, you know, I had to allow those things to come to me James Brown to come through me. And so that's a different way of doing a biopic.
As for this?
This is one where you don't know, there's not footage. You know, there's Baseball Hall of Fame footage that right. people have never seen for Jackie Robinson. There's concert footage that people have never seen. I mean, in this day and age, people saw it at some point in time, but they've never seen it that I had access to in both cases. This was not like, there's not like
legal, you know, documents.
There's no sports center for Thurgood Marshall in the courtroom.
Although there right? should be. Should, I just need to crawl down the side of the screen.
Yeah. But so this was you know, discerning and you know, extracting from the pages, from biographies, autobiographies, from articles that were provided or were found. This was extracting his personality from that. And there's, you know, very little footage of him talking, but again, I think it's more about the time period. And since I didn't look like him, you know, you don't necessarily want to go there anyway, you know. Right. You don't want to present the problem. You want to present, you know, how can the spirit of this man, the essence of him, come through me? You know, let's not put a fake mustache. What is my Thurgood Marshall mustache? Right. Let's not have a wig. What is my Thurgood Marshall hair? You know, so let's let him grow out of me.
Was there anything that surprised you about him in terms of what you read on the page versus not once you dig in and inhabit this guy? Oh, I didn't know that about him.
You know, that would be everything. I mean, because it's one thing to read that he's literally the single attorney for the NAACP going around dealing with all of these cases at a certain point. Later on, he had other people that work. He got a bigger budget. He got more pay himself. He could bring on other people, but during this period of time, he was literally the only person going around doing this.
Putting out fires.
Yeah,
so.
And we're literally watching one of the moments where he begins to assemble a group of people who can help him do this. We're watching this through Sam Friedman.
Right.
So it's one thing to read that. It's another thing to then experience it and go like, okay, well, he didn't sleep tonight and he got on the train and got off and started working, or his life is in danger. He left his comfortable life during the Harlem Renaissance where he could be, you know, sitting with some of the greatest artists at that time period.
Everyone at a table was
relaxed. And he's going off to risk his life selflessly. So the combination of attributes that you read on a page, when you actually experience them and you realize who the person is, you're like, wow, this is a heavy dude. This is a very, very heavy person I'm playing.
They're giving me the go home. So I wanted to say thanks for making the movie, first of all. It's not only is it a fun watch and a funky with the jazzy vibe and the diagonal wipes and all of that stuff, but it's also really educational. And like you said, you bring the man to life. So thank you so much. And we're excited for Black Panther too. Hopefully that will bring some more audiences to go check out Marshall too, man, because this is important.
I'm pretty sure it will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.